Hey everyone, and welcome to this Bed Homeschool Conversation. Thank you for joining us again tonight for this broadcast that's put on by Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit that helps parents homeschool children with special educational needs. And every week we have a different topic, but every month that those topics are based on a theme. And our theme this month is communication. And as we end that theme this month of October, we are going to be talking about sign language. And as you probably have noticed, if you're not listening to our podcast, which of course then you're not seeing our screen, but we have an interpreter doing sign language for our broadcast tonight. And we want to thank Amelia for doing that for us. And we also have two other guests. We have Cheryl Lynette Parker, and also we have Christina Mosley, and I'm going to have them do some introductions of them, of who they are and tell us a little bit about themselves. But tonight our topic is enhancing learning with sign language. And so thank you all of you for joining us tonight. And so who would like to start with the introductions?
Oh, I guess I will. Thank you so much, Peggy. My name is Cheryl Lynette Parker, and I have loved sign language my whole life. I tried to learn as much of it as I could when I was a child, and then when I was in college, that was the foreign language that I took while I was studying to be an engineer. And then I got my degree in engineering, got another degree in engineering, worked for a few years, and then when my daughter was born, I decided to stay home and with her. And during that time, I started teaching her a little bit of sign language for early communication.
Yes.
And I got back into it, not just with the basic sign language that you use with children, but that's when I started really digging into the language much deeper, connecting with the deaf community. It's during the time that I ended up finding Signing Time and found an amazing community of people. I became an instructor through the Signing Time Academy, and I still teach some of those classes. That was very fun to do when my daughter was little.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by how much my little child could communicate with me before she had a voice.
Right.
And since then, I've continued doing the classes, but I have and have been digging in deeper and deeper into the language and getting to meet some amazing people. I now also do some freelance work with the Signing Time Foundation, and I love the mission of the Signing Time Foundation. Of the impact that they're making on children of all abilities. And so I'm able to combine my interest in technology, software development for them, my interest in education, and my interest in sign language all together. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, that's so interesting. Yeah, I know we were talking ahead of time. You were talking about computer science, so I see how that all fits in now when I hear your story. Well, that's great. So what about you, Christina?
Hi, thank you for having me today. I am first and foremost a homeschool mama. Prior to becoming a homeschool mom, I was working as a full-time sign language interpreter. I have been an interpreter for over 20 years.
Awesome.
I got into ASL for very much the same reasons I learned in college, too. I wanted to know what deaf people were saying. I always felt that was a barrier. I didn't know that there was a culture and a community. I only knew from what I thought was just signs in signed English order is what I was going to learn.
Right.
So when I entered my first ASL class, I was just in shock. I had no idea there was a community or a culture. And long story short, now I am married. My husband is actually my first ASL teacher's son. So it goes full circle. We are a signing family, and I teach ASL in my homeschool co-op, and I've been teaching my children since they're very little.
Awesome. Yes, I've heard a lot more co-ops are now offering that. And we had this discussion earlier before the broadcast started, as how a lot of colleges are now accepting ASL as a foreign language, which wasn't the case years, you know, I guess within the last 10 years. But that's an exciting change. I'm really glad about that, and glad that there's people like Christina who are in the homeschooling community offering those classes as well. And it looks like your work bridges into Cheryl Annette's work too, because you said you use some of her software for your classes. So I'll have to, you'll have to touch on that while we have our discussion.
Sure.
Definitely. Well, thank you for doing introductions. Also, I want you who are watching to know that you can be part of this conversation. So feel free to put your comments, questions in the feed, if you're watching this live, that is. If you're watching us on our YouTube channel, or you're listening on our podcast, then or just the recorded version on Facebook, feel free to put still your questions and comments in the feed. One of us will get back to you at some point when we see those pop up afterwards. But if you're with us live, please do be part of our conversation. We want that to happen. So as we dive in, I know it's probably self-evident that sign language can offer benefits for any child, but can we highlight maybe some of these benefits to just get us started off on this subject?
Christina, do you want to take it, or would you like for me to start with that one?
Oh, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, one of the biggest benefits is that children are able to communicate, or through sign language, children are able to communicate a lot earlier than what they can do if you're relying just on voice. Right. And I mean, children, they know what they want. They sometimes have frustrations because they don't have the fine motor skills yet to be able to enunciate, to be able to communicate and all of that. And speech is a fine motor skill. And if you've looked at a lot of times with child development, you know that the large muscles, the gross motor skills, develop before the fine motor skills do. And so sign language has both gross motor skills and fine motor skills. And so there are a lot of signs that children can do long before they are able to speak. And so you're able to get a much earlier insight into what it is that your children are thinking. It's very nice to be able to get that early insight into what your kids are thinking, misunderstandings they have, being able to correct those, see what there's just, it's really fun to know that a little bit earlier about your child. The other really interesting thing about this is that sign language accesses other parts of the brain in addition to what you often have with your spoken language. I mean, you have your language centers of the brain, but you also have, it's a visual language. So if you are using sign language and you are speaking to that child at the same time, if you have a hearing child and you are, you know, saying a word milk and you're signing the word milk and you're doing that, the child is getting visual input, they're getting auditory input, and as they start doing it, they're also getting the kinesthetic input. So it is a wonderful tool for all of your different types of learners. And you're able to, once you learn what kind of learner your child is, you can end up using it as an additional tool to help in that regard.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I can speak to that too, being, I didn't share this with you, but I have dyslexia. And so education was hard for me. Learning how to read was difficult for me. I struggled in school. And it wasn't until I sat in my very first ASL class where all the light bulbs went off. I remember sitting in the class saying, my teacher didn't speak. She didn't use her voice at all. It was ASL 1. But I could follow her conversation. I was able to understand and decode what she was doing because it was visual. And it was, I remember saying, I felt like I was looking at a pop-up book is how I kind of explained it. And so for me, it being a visual learner, it gave me confidence. It opened up a learning gate for me. And I said, I could not believe how much I was understanding just by seeing language that way. Right. So for those struggling learners, ASL is tremendous. I see it in my own daughter who also has dyslexia. And even for anyone, even if you don't have dyslexia, just to have that extra input, it's really perfect.
Right. But, yeah.
Well, learning is so much about making connections.
If
you're able to connect something to something they already know,
yes,
then they are going to learn it so much better. And the more senses that you are activating, the more connections that you are making in that child's mind. And so just like you're talking about being visual, when you're doing true American Sign Language, beyond just the words, you can actually show things as a visual picture in the air.
Yes.
And so like you can show, if you're talking about how plants are growing and things like that, you can actually show the growth of the plant and how it ends up becoming a tree. And you're able to use that three-dimensional space as you're explaining it to a child. And sometimes make it just that much more rich than just talking about it to a child.
Right, because so many signs are interpretations of the of an actual something that the thing does. And I think when we use a word, we don't get that picture with it. And so it's really hard for a child to understand the concept of the word. But I can see how that would bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Better.
Yes.
We have a comment from one of our viewers. She said, it's so great to learn about a type of learner. My son is also dyslexic. We can sign letters and then he can spell words. And that's a great way to use it for spelling.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I encourage a lot of my parents to continue, because I work mostly with the young children, and I hope that they will continue using the sign language long past the early communication, because it's a foundation to a language that's used by millions, but it's also such a wonderful tool in education. And being able to, if you have a kinesthetic learner, practicing their spelling words, they get that muscle memory for it as well. And it's a great tool for a parent to have in their toolbox, no matter what their what their children's or learning style is.
Right. Well, thank you, Jennifer, for that comment, because you let us expand on selling already. So appreciate that. So, Christina, you had something?
Yeah, I was going to share with her that I have a tip that works for my daughter, being a kinesthetic visual learner. We would write the word. Let's say the word is special, right? It's a hard word to spell.
She's
dyslexic. So we'd write it on the chalkboard or on a whiteboard so you can see the shapes of the letters visually. Mm-hmm. And then we would get either a graham cracker tray, like of crumbs or sand, and of course spell it out with our pointer finger. And then learning how to spell it in ASL fingerspelling, because you're able to see the shape of the word in three different ways. So you're seeing it on the board, you're feeling it in the sand or the graham cracker crust, and then also the shape that you see signing it either in the mirror or being mirrored. Really brings it home, because we need that visual memory. We need something to connect it to, right? Like you were saying, Cheryl, to have a reference for it to really start clicking for us. Mm-hmm. And for dyslexics, we need to see it at least like probably, I think the statistics is like 100 times more than the average person for it to really start.
Right. So you're providing three inputs in one lesson versus the normal one input. And then getting frustrated because they're not getting it right away.
Right.
Definitely. And yeah, even for children with memory issues, we see that a lot too. I tutor a young man and I always have to come at the subject at least three different ways before it's really embedded enough that he can recall.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. So with really young children, you know, getting started, what are some tips for, we have a lot of parents who, you know, really, they want to start homeschooling at preschool age. And I know, Cheryl, that you were talking about how this is such a great bridge for that language, but what are some other things that you have to share with maybe some parents who have younger children, or even children who have maybe a younger, mental, cognitive level.
Mm-hmm. Well, to your first question of how to get started, first of all, it is, I get asked a lot of times, well, how soon can we start? It is never too early to start. And it's not too late to start either. But with my second child, my son, I started on the day he was born. And with that, it was really simple. It was just every time that I fed him, every time that he was drinking milk, I would sign milk. And so there was that association, you know, I'd say it, I would sign it. And just starting with one sign. Of course, when we're talking with a child, if this is your first language, you're going to be talking all the time. You start talking to your child the day they're born. You start giving them that input. But by the time he was 3 months old, he was doing this. He didn't know what it meant. I can't say it because he wasn't doing that intentionally. It was a gross motor just reaction, open, close, open, close. But by 6-7 months, I really think he actually understood what that word meant and was able to do it intentionally, which is long before he would have been able to vocally say it. Now, it was several months later before he started doing other signs as well. But if you're doing that with a young child or with any child and you're using sign language, make it fun. Interact with the child. Use eye contact. If you're working with a hearing child, I would suggest that you both vocalize the word and show it in sign language and then vocalize it again. If you are working, if you have a child who is deaf or hard of hearing, get a deaf mentor. Get someone from the deaf community to help you with that and help immerse that child in the language. But you're probably going to actually be doing fully American Sign Language separate and from your English. You might repeat it, and that way you're able to give a lot more of the rest of the language, all of the body language and all the things that are in the face that you're going to lose if you're speaking at the same time. Make it part of your day. Get connected with a class. There's a lot of different classes that you have. Like I say, I teach in the Signing Time Academy, and I believe you shared the links on this earlier. But
I have a whole page of links. So can you explain what the Signing Time Academy is?
It is a group of instructors across the country and actually around the world who have classes, small, a lot of them are doing mommy and me classes with young children and their parents to teach them basic ASL vocabulary. We use games, we use books, we do stories. If you think of your library story times that you have, it's a lot like that. But we're teaching sign language. We'll have a different theme every week of what we're going through. Now, every teacher does it a little bit differently. And you can find a Signing Time instructor. If you go to www.signingtimeacademy.com, you can search and see if there's an instructor in your area. But there's other groups that do similar kinds of things. I would advise that if you're doing that, try to find teachers that are actually using American Sign Language vocabulary. There are some baby sign language classes that you can find where they'll use.
That would be very different.
There are some that will use made up signs. I don't recommend that because you're then going to have to relearn a lot if you're actually trying to use this as a foundation as a second language. And it won't be as widely known. So but go with the real language, and you also won't make the embarrassing mistakes of sometimes actually saying something there that might actually mean something in American Sign Language different than what you're intending it to be.
Right.
Yes.
And who wants to relearn something? That's to start out with.
And some people would say they do it because they said that some of the signs, like I say, some of them are fine motor skills, and it's hard for a child to do some of the fine motor. And so, like, well, we're just going to make up our own that's easier for kids. But we don't do that with spoken languages.
No. Right.
We just keep working to say the word. And the child will make their own modification, and then we'll continue to correct it, and we'll continue to model it correctly for the child vocally, and eventually the child will end up being able to do the same thing. So like the sign for cat, you know, you'll see them do cat. The child may just do this. They may just kind of rub their face at first. You as a parent know what they're saying or what they're saying. But you won't change your sign to that. You continue to show it correctly.
Right. That makes a lot of sense when you explain it that way. But I can see how easy for someone who is not immersed in that that language to say, oh, I could give in to, you know, to whatever they're using as the sign. But in the flip, I'm not going to do that with the English language.
Exactly.
So why would I do it with sign language?
That's right.
Right.
So true.
And it's just, it's a lot of fun to make it part of your daily life. You know, once you have enough, even if it's, you don't have to have full conversations with your child. You just, you know, a tree, you know, a flower, you know, a cloud, if you've taken a class like that, and you go on a nature walk with your kid and you talk to the your kid, you know, oh, look up there. Do you see the sky? Let's go to hear the birds, talk to them about it. And you're giving your child a lot of different kinds of input that's helping them learn about the world around them. And they're getting that input through auditorily and visually. They're seeing you model it. And you're not doing the whole, okay, can you sign bird? Can you
sign? Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, you go to another country, you learn language and immersion. They you know, that's how you actually get it embedded faster and better. Mm-hmm. And so that just makes sense. Why would you not take American Sign Language out into the world and apply it, even if you're not speaking fluently, every, you know, sign for every word you're using, but putting it in the context of what you're talking about for the signs that the child is learning and that you know. As a parent, you're learning probably a lot, you know, if we don't have the background that you guys have, we can do a little bit. Because I know when we were memorizing Bible verses, it really helped my kids. We bought a book that gave us specific signs just for, you know, key things in the Bible verse, and it helped me memorize them better as well. Mm-hmm. So you had those things to hinge your memory with the signs, and so we learned a little together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're bringing back memories for me. I'm remembering, like, walking my son in his stroller and saying, oh, do you see the leaves? Do you see that? And, you know, language acquisition has to come naturally. We're not going to sit and do tests every week, you know. Do you know the sign for a tree? It has to happen in a natural environment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your child is going to understand a lot receptively long before they show it to you.
Yes.
And that's the same with the spoken language. The children will understand what you're telling them before they will speak.
Get it back.
And so if you're teaching the signs to a child, you'll begin to see it in their eyes that they understand, oh, you're signing milk. And you'll see their eyes light up. You'll see that kind of thing. And eventually you'll see them repeating it. But most kids don't like to perform. That they're not going to do it on command. You're like, oh my goodness, my kid knows 15 signs. Let me show grandma.
Not
going to do it.
I think that's that stress component we talked about when we had our autism talk a couple weeks ago.
You're putting them on the spot and they don't have a need for it. You're like, why are you making me sign food? There's no food around here.
Yes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Makes
sense. And to let them be able to just integrate it on their own when they feel comfortable with it. Because... Mm-hmm. Which one of us wants to be, you know, put on the spot for anything? And it's not a good way to start or end teaching anything.
Right.
Keep it fun. Keep it interactive. I love the going on walks, you know, just when you're out anywhere. And,
you know, just part of your daily life. You know, during bath time, that can be fun. You talk about the bath and the water, you know, where's the soap, you know, making bubbles, you know, and just kids love splashing. It's fun. Bath time is, once they're in the tub, it's usually fun getting them there. Once they're there,
water.
Or during story
time. Give a parent, you know, in scenario, I'm thinking, you know, you've got certain vocabulary words that are applicable to that situation. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to work on certain words, we would just, and add new ones, then I would, you know, maybe look at a scenario of where I wanted to start adding those words and add them there. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we were talking about using texts and other kind of communication boards and vocabulary for AAC. And that was kind of their suggestion too, but I could see that could easily cross boards with,
oh, yes,
with sign language too.
Well, I think no matter what tools you're trying to teach your children, if you can give them that concrete example and then incorporate that in, if you're using it with sign language or you're using whatever, showing them this in the real world,
yeah,
it makes more connections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So, I think you had some questions or talking about Rachel and the tree schoolers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh yes, that
resource.
Okay. Well, let me back up before I mention Rachel and the Tree Schoolers. Mention another resource that if you're starting sign language with your children and you want some videos to help guide you through it, Baby Signing Time is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's full of music. It ends up teaching you the signs, and then it puts it to songs, and then you see a lot of other children signing it too. All the children in Baby Signing Time are under age 3.
Oh, wow.
And so they may or may not be signing it correctly. It'll show you some of the variations. It sometimes helps parents like, that's what my kid was meaning.
Oh,
yeah. But, and so that's a great way to get started. And I know sometimes parents do not want to give their children screen time, and that's fine. I still encourage the parents to watch Baby Signing Time, even if they don't have their young children doing the screen time with it, because you will learn it then through that. Because it is so memorable when it's put to music.
Yes.
Now, Rachel and the Tree Schoolers is a resource that's really geared, I'd say, probably ages 3 to 8. And it is it's a show also done by Two Little Hands Productions that teaches science. Its whole point isn't the sign language. The sign language is added onto it as an additional layer of learning. And so each episode ends up taking a different topic of science, say learning about your body and being healthy. And so it'll go through different ways that you can learn about your body, but it teaches you, as Rachel's talking about that and as the little cartoon characters are learning about it as well, Rachel happens to show a lot of sign language for a lot of, now she doesn't stop the show and teach most of the words. You just see it in passing. And then if you watch the special features at the end, you can go in and actually look at what all the different signs were. But every episode of Rachel and the Tree Schoolers, there are 9 episodes. Each of those also, there is a free activity guide online that parents can go and download. And it has different activities you can do at home to learn more about whatever the science was on the astronomy episode. There's things that you can do of making your own little constellations at home with marshmallows and toothpicks, or charting the phases of the moon and that kind of thing. But then it also shows a lot of the signs that were taught in that episode. So it is a really fantastic program that incorporates many different learning styles into a single 30-minute episode. And so you'll find that 3- and 4-year-olds will get one thing out of it, and your 7- and 8-year-olds are going to get something else out of that same episode. And I love hearing 4-year-olds going around the house singing about photosynthesis. It's something just incredibly cute about kids that young saying words that big.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I know someone had recommended we do a survey for curriculum every year, and one of our parents recommended Rachel and the Tree Schoolers for science because she had a daughter with Down syndrome, and her cognitive level was extremely low. And she said, this is what we use for science. And so she would take those episodes and expand them out. I don't know how long it took to, you know, do all the material, but for her, that was her middle school, I think, even almost into high school, because of her daughter's abilities. And that's completely acceptable in most states. And, well, and if your child is at that cognitive level, you teach at that cognitive level. So,
and the episodes bring in concepts that are taught at the middle school and high school level as well, but they don't go into the same amount of depth. But the concept is introduced, and so parents can definitely add on to it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good introduction. And if you're teaching all your kids at the same time, you know, if you've got lots of kids, everybody's going to get something out of it, like you were saying. So that's a great resource.
Well, and I also really like a lot of the signing time resources and the things done by Two Little Hands. If you watch them, you will see children with a huge variety of abilities in there. And you will see children with Down syndrome, and you will see children with hearing aids. You'll see children in wheelchairs, and you'll see children just, and they're just children. That's what we all are. And one of the biggest goals, and you'll hear it as a tagline sometimes for signing time, is that it's where friends can meet and find that we're not so different after all.
Exactly. Yes.
And sign language is a great way to help break down some of those barriers that we end up finding between other humans sometimes.
And if kids aren't exposed, or they're in a community, or they're kind of remote and they're not exposed to a lot of disability culture, that's a really good way through videos to do that. I know for my family, I have 10 adopted siblings, all with special needs. So my family is quite diverse. You know, we have everything from, wheelchairs and all of that. So,
And I have found sign language, and you'll find this as well, and this is probably why y'all are asking us to talk about sign language, is that it is a wonderful language and tool for children, not just deaf children, for all children. I've had students that have autism. I've had students that have Down syndrome. I've had students that English is their second language. And then you get the students that the parents just want their children to learn as many languages as possible. And we're all together in one class. Mm-hmm. And it's really useful and in very different situations of what people are working to learn with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it crosses those bridges. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that you're hindered by, unless you don't have the ability to use your hands.
Well, yes.
So then we go into eye gazing and a whole bunch of other things.
Right. So, and we've had some people that have tracheostomies, and they may not be able to speak, but sign language is fully available to them for that as well.
Definitely. So, Christina, I want to also bridge into older kids and using sign language for instruction, and also as teaching as a second language for high school, for maybe students that I know with my son, we totally nixed Spanish because he couldn't even say his R's in English, let alone roll R's in Spanish. You know, and so there are some those kids that have speech issues, even may not may be able to talk in general or stuttering, and sign language can be that second language too. So I guess, whichever you want to start with, you know, just ways that enhancing learning for older kids, or talking about sign language as a second language, or mixing it all together.
Certainly, sure. When I was starting to teach my children sign language, there wasn't a lot of resources out there for them. We did use Signing Times. We love it. So, you know, the songs ring in my head, and I have great memories of putting my son down for a nap to some of those sweet lullaby type songs. But there weren't a lot of resources for us. So I kind of just created my own over the years, and just trying to remember what I learned from the classes that I took. And it wasn't until I started teaching in the homeschool co-op where I needed curriculum. You know, I needed something more than just what comes out of my brain. You know, I needed a spine to bounce off of, and I needed structure, and I needed language to teach them with, like trying to explain what role shifting is and giving them different examples other than just myself. Listing and all the different aspects of ASL. So it wasn't until the last year I found Sign at ASL, and it has drastically changed how I teach, and my kids are thriving. They're laughing. They're loving it. I have children in my classroom. I teach about fifth graders to high school seniors. I have three different classes. One is a level one, and I have two, which are, one's a returning student class, and I have a high school level two class that I teach. So I have a total of about like 31 students. And I was able to utilize Sunny Day ASL as a license to give codes out to the children so that they can have their own online account. Mm-hmm. And take the course at their pace, but also with me as their lead learner, kind of guiding them through it. And we break it down into little segments. What I love most about it is that I know sign language, right? I'm a certified interpreter. We have deaf right. family. We are culturally deaf, but you don't have to be to utilize this program. You right. can just be anyone signing up, not knowing sign language at all.
Wow.
You enroll in the online program and you go at your pace. And what's really, really interesting, at first I was a little concerned, like, oh, is this going to be good for my older kids? You know, right. I have teenagers, you know, 15, 17, maybe they don't want to see some cute, fun comedy, you know, type it. But I was so wrong.
Right.
We all love it. So with Sign It ASL, it's stories, it's culture. You're being taught not only vocabulary, but sentence structure. And you're taught in such a variety of ways where it's through natural language communication, mm-hmm. like you're watching people talk. You have voice over, or you can shut the voice over off. You can test your children like that. It gives you quizzes. I mean, I love it so much that I'll probably beg Sign It ASL to keep on adding, because I don't know what I'm going to do when we finish unit three.
Oh,
It's coming.
And I have to say, I have children in my classrooms too. Some of them have special needs as well. You know, some of them are not as noticeable as others,
right.
but they're all thriving, and they all come back and say to me, oh, I remember when that pirate signed that sign. Or I remember when the funny chef guy did it. And I remember when, you know, that little girl signed it. And because you're seeing it on different people. It's not just from Mrs. Mosley.
Right.
You know, it's not just from the one guest that I can bring in to sign with you. We're bringing the community to the kids through the internet.
Right.
And not only that, they also, what I love also about the program and why it's so beneficial for the older kids and the younger, the fifth grade through high school, is that they talk about real life situations. It's an interview at the end of every unit. And you're interviewing people in the community. So, and these are people that I actually know. So it's really nice. Yeah, they're rappers and actresses and storytellers.
Who are deaf.
Who are deaf, children of deaf adults. And you get to just meet the community. It's a little bit of a glimpse into meeting who these people are in this deaf community. Because back in the day, when I was learning sign language, you had to meet a deaf person. You went to the deaf clubs. You know, those are places where all the deaf people congregate. And that's where we can meet deaf people. We still love that. And they're very valued. And it's part of our culture. But for children who are being homeschooled, it's not necessarily so accessible to them. So you get a little peek into the people that utilize this language and who they are and why they love it and about their lives. And it really brings it home to them. They get to know these people.
Right. And, you know, as I watch, you know, Amelia signing, she brings her personality into it. You know, and every person is a little different when you bring your personality, even when you speak. And so I can see how that is so beneficial to being exposed to the same words, different people in different contexts, and, you know, even different sentence structures. And it's repetitive for those words, but yet, again, it's embedding it in different ways into their brain.
Absolutely.
It's immersion.
It's immersion, the best way that we can without going to a, you know, place. It's the best way to
do. While we're talking about Sign It ASL, I want to mention a couple of things that might be useful to some of your viewers. I mentioned early on that I work with the Signing Time Foundation with some of their software. Part of Signit ASL is the program that I get to work with the most, and that's where I get to provide the most customer support. So I love hearing your great feedback about this, Christina. So thank you.
I love it so much.
But this program through the Signing Time Foundation, it's available to anybody to purchase, and we try to keep it at a good price point for everybody. But we want it to be available to those who need it most. Yeah. And so there's some interesting statistics out there that you know, most deaf children are born to two hearing parents. Wow. And this the statistics vary a little on this, but I've seen it basically between 80 and 90% of those parents never learn sign language.
Wow.
And those are parents of deaf and hard of hearing children. And there's a lot of reasons, but some of those reasons include things like parents weren't expecting to learn a second language, and they've got a child at home. They cannot find classes nearby, or they can't find classes that fit with their work schedule, or, they live too far away in the country, or there's monetary situation. There's so many slew of reasons that it's hard. So the Signing Time Foundation has made Signit ASL available free, completely free, to parents of deaf and hard of hearing infants and toddlers. So if they're under age 3, and that's any level of hard of hearing, or as it's often called, hearing loss, any level in one or both ears.
Wow.
Just go to www.mydeafchild.org and fill out the quick application there. And within a couple of days, you'll have an access code to be able to get that program completely for free. The other part that might be of interest to other families is we are in the process of funding an expansion to our free access program. We launched a funding campaign recently, and when we reach our funding goal, this will be made available free to parents of children with any type of special need under age 3.
Wonderful.
So anything, if it qualifies under IDEA Part C, then the parents there, they would qualify to be able to get this program for free. So if you want to follow the funding campaign for that, that is, you can follow that campaign at donorbox.org/signitforall. And as soon as we meet that goal, we are excited. We are ready to be able to expand this program.
Amazing.
But in the meantime, the program is available out there, either individual license or, like Christina was talking about, you can get the educational site license if you have a large group that you're working with as well. So thank you.
So now I love it even more. Like, it's just amazing.
Right. It's just communication. I mean, that's why we wanted, I really wanted to have sign language as part of this month, was because it bridges so many barriers. And it's not just to the deaf community, but it is amazing that we can bridge that barrier. But there's so many nonverbal children with autism, and just ways that a lot of kids can't communicate because of anxiety and other things, other speech impediments. And it really does open those doors and get parents the ability to communicate with their kids, which just tears my heart apart, because that relationship is so key to a child knowing that they're loved, and that a parent is listening to them and really, respecting who they are and wanting the best for them.
And there are a lot of people that I know that their children will start off using the sign language. They will then later become comfortable with speech, and they'll drop the sign language for a while. And I encourage parents, if that happens, keep the sign language going, even when your child is preferring to talk. That's fine. But there may come times that the child will want to either expand it as a second language, or they'll want to fall back on it. And it is keep that in your toolbox. Keep that. Because you never know when you're going to meet a deaf person, then you may develop a friendship that you never would have had otherwise. Or you're under medication and you can't talk.
Yeah.
Or I was talking with some friends of mine that they said that, you know, their child's dealing with some anxiety. And whenever those episodes come up, the child doesn't want to speak anymore.
Right.
But they go back to using their sign language and got still have an open communication with the parent.
Mm-hmm. So that's a very good point to make. I think we think we're going to get our child to a certain place and then we can just set this aside. But if your child does have struggles, this is a life skill that really can help. And also a second language if it's never, you know, needed. But yet my daughter, she came after my boys. And so she only knows a couple signs, but thank you is one. And every time she says thank you, she signs it. And she doesn't even think about it. And somebody's like, oh, do you know sign language? And she's like, oh, no. Two other things. That's all I got. But,
Well, I mean, and you can just continue using it. You know, there's a window between you and your kids playing outside. Well, you can sign to your child through the window and continue using it then. Or you're at gymnastics class and they're across the room and they need to tell you something. They can without yelling, or you're in a quiet place at church, you can sign to your child, or you're at a loud concert and can't hear, you can use your sign language. So those opportunities are there for you to stay in practice with it.
So true. Yeah, there's so many applications, and a lot of those are we don't think about them, but when we need them, that would be amazing to have that.
I also use it too when my children are being extremely distracted, either by whatever's happening in their home. They're distracted. They're not looking at me. When we're not speaking and we're signing, we are fully connected. The eyes are on each other. So we're able to lessen the distraction and truly be connected in that way. And we're just signing with one another. That's what helps me kind of ground us sometimes as a family in my homeschool. When they're talking, who's in one room and talking in another room. We're together. We're grounded.
Yep.
Yeah. Because you have to have that dedicated eye contact and, you know, looking at their hands. And it's kind of hard to have a loud conversation and sign. I guess it's possible, maybe. I was going to say there's something in your notes about incorporating music and theatrical interpretation. Did you want to touch on that, Christina?
Oh, sure. So in my classes, as the children have a pretty good foundation and understanding ASL structure and they're understanding the different sentence types, I introduce worship songs in our co-op. And the kids love it just because they love to worship and I love worshiping with them. But we utilize it as a teaching tool. So for instance, there's like the song, How Great Is Our God, by Chris Tomlin. Yeah. So that song, we're learning about use of space. We know that God is above over here. And when he comes down, I teach them, this is a classifier. I'm able to explain the language, them with music. And then they get so emotive with it. So my shy students who really don't want to use facial expression all of a sudden are using facial expression because they like music.
Oh,
yeah. So certain songs certain songs are easier to interpret for that age group than others. If the song is very abstract, it's going to be interpreted differently. So we lean towards more of like the simple structure. But they love it and they thrive and they feel accomplished. And then it carries on with them. So whenever they hear it in the car, I hear from the parents all the time, oh, my son was signing, you know, How Great Is Our God, because he learned in your class. Or my son was at an event and they were around the fire and playing guitar and a whole bunch of the children that were in my class were signing together to it. So it's really beautiful. It's a great way to bring in another part of learning, you know, like we were saying before, just to give it a more artistic form.
Right. Yeah, and I could see how others that maybe weren't even in your class that were around them would start copying and, you know, pick that up. And
yeah,
it was a group activity.
Yeah.
I would want to state for your families that are wanting to use this as a second language in their homeschools, to be aware that there is a difference between learning sign language vocabulary, like what you might teach to young children, and then trying to do this for credit at a high school level.
Yes.
Right.
Full American Sign Language is not just English signs in English order. It's a completely different language. It has its own grammar. It has its own syntax. It has its own idioms. It has its own things within it. You're using other parts of the body beyond your hands. You're using your face, your eyebrows. You're using classifiers to be able to move within space. Make sure that you are using quality materials in your class, and make sure you get a teacher who is knowledgeable of full American Sign Language.
Right.
You can get a person who's deaf and that's their first language. If you can get an interpreter, if you can get someone who has truly been trained in the language and is not just, oh, I know a lot of signs, or I learned it from a lot of videos. When you're looking at trying to do that for credit at the high school level, make sure that you are getting something that's truly getting into the full nuances of the language.
Right, because when you learn any other foreign language, you're learning grammar, you're learning reading, you're learning, you know, the syntax. It's not just vocabulary. And and so that's a very good point to make. Christina, were you going to add something to that too?
I fully agree with that. And when I'm teaching my high school students, what's really interesting now with us, what we're finding out is they're comparing, you know, they're taking what they know in English and what they know in ASL, and they're seeing the equivalents there, but they're also seeing the different structures. Like, how do you represent pluralization in ASL versus English?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're reinforcing what they already know in English, and now doing it in ASL, and now oftentimes they say, oh, it's more fun doing it in ASL, though. Well, you keep on studying.
Right, that's what my daughter says sometimes about French, too, but I don't believe her. So as we're wrapping up, I just want to thank Amelia. You have been signing hard and interpreting well for us. That's quite a workout. But is there anything else that you, either of you, want to share and close with as we're kind of ending our time? And also, Jennifer added a comment here. I want to add that she said, eye contact, another great reason to get started with a young child, building bonds with parents, reasons to take class. I also tell my parents that even if your child is very young, that being exposed to the music and seeing other kids is beneficial.
Yes. Yes. There is a lot of bonding that happens through teaching your child sign language. And I don't know that all of that is because of sign language, but I think a lot of it is because of that eye contact and that intentional talking about things.
Yeah, and we can talk and look somewhere else when we're talking to our kids. And I can see that, how that would affect that relationship.
And that's, you know, there have been a lot of studies that will show that there's a, you know, increase in IQ, or there's an increase in I don't think the sign language itself is what's going to cause that kind of thing, but I think that parental interaction, the parents that are signing with their children and are taking those extra moments for that kind of connection, there are so many benefits from that, that this is a tool that's helping to lead to that as well.
Yeah.
Christine, do you want to add anything else?
Yeah,
to that?
I wanted to add too that, you know, sign language and deaf people have such a rich history as well that needs to be taught in your class. You can't just teach sign language without teaching the culture, without teaching about the people.
So true.
Yeah, their experiences, the cultural differences. So there's so much more that you can teach and you can expand on. Really, it's not just about signs. It's not just about Learning the vocabulary, like we said before, it's about the learning the whole language. And if you're going to learn the whole language, you have to learn about the whole community and all the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Because I mean, you get to down to those origins of, you know, why is a sign, you know, this versus, you know, something else. And you do that with spoken language all the time in like different language classes.
Yes.
But relating to that language is so important and having a depth of understanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess the final point I would also like to make to your viewers is that if you start signing with your children, it's very likely that somebody is going to tell you, oh, you shouldn't do that. That is going to delay their speech.
Oh, yes.
And that
really?
Is a myth.
I've heard that before.
That is a myth that has been disproven. There are some old studies from way back that kind of people thought that, but they have shown the opposite is true, that it enhances the learning.
Yes.
It enhances the language. The earlier you are making those mental connections in the brain, the earlier you're getting those language pathways, the stronger those pathways are going to be.
Right.
And language does not delay language. And if your child does have a speech delay, be so thankful that you have sign language to fall back on and that you can use that. I know a lot of people that they'll be told that. Sometimes it's by doctors that they will say, oh, you shouldn't sign with your child. And if you are a hearing parent with hearing children, a lot of times the parents just kind of stop and that there's no harm done. There's no whatever, you know, they lose that. They lose all the benefits they would have gotten,
right. But
there's no long-term harm because they didn't sign.
Mm-hmm.
But when the same kind of thing ends up happening to hearing parents with deaf children and they stop signing with their children, there is a strong risk of having language deprivation. Doesn't mean it will happen, but that risk is so much higher because they don't have any method of communicating. And it's kind of sad how often that has happened in the past. And thankfully it is improving. More and more people are knowing the benefits of sign language for all children.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to say, you will encounter that, but those studies are very outdated.
Yes,
that's really good to know. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things doctors tell our parents, unfortunately, that you just want to say, oh, don't believe that. But yeah, you as your parent, I always stuck with my gut with, you know, knowing whether something was right or wrong. And oh, God never steered me wrong. So
that's right.
So, well, thank you, ladies. I have appreciated this time. It has been insightful. Definitely, like I told you when we got started, that this is definitely outside of my understanding, and I learned so much tonight. So that's exciting. So hopefully our audience will do the same. And this was a good way to wrap up our communication series this month. So thank you so much for your willingness.
Thank you for having us here.
Yeah, definitely. And next week, we are moving on to family dynamics for November as we move into the holiday season and all of the crazy things that come into that when we have children that maybe our family doesn't think should act the way they do. And so we're going to bridge a lot of that standing up for your child and your family values and just accepting normal, the way normal is in your home. And so we've got some wonderful topics coming up, but our guest next week is Laura Lee. She's a blogger as well as an author. And she's also a special needs mom. And we're going to talk about reconciling disabilities with the church and your family. And so she's been doing a biblical study on disabilities in the Bible. And we're going to talk about some of that research that she's done and just how to take all that and incorporate it in your family. So anyways, that's it. If you want to keep this conversation going, definitely keep it going in the feed, and I'll tag these ladies if I think the question should go to them instead of me or anybody else on our team. But thanks for watching, and you can keep the conversation also going in our private support group here on Facebook as well. But until next week, We'll see you there, and you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com. And thank you for donating to make this program possible. So good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you. Thank you, Amelia.
Bye.